contrast with that sort of slight rasp in it that, okay. that gave massive sincerity. That's the only bit of Michael Jackson I
could do with the throat lozenges there, maybe. For that one.
Family medicines. He's 83 now, Michael Jackson, still going strong. And from Nottingham. Anyway, so is Alex Newton, the Beeston chiropractor.
I'm not
and
83.
No. There was a comma missing somewhere in that sentence, wasn't there? Maybe even a semicolon. Oh, dear. Welcome. Thanks for coming along. And we're going to talk about various things today, including keeping your walking going, keeping the number of steps up, and also how you must stay active as the years pass by, and a healthy back. I have an issue which is being looked at, but my greater issue, Alex, is that I was told to do a certain exercise last time I saw my practitioner, and I'm wondering if they will know that I haven't been entirely adhering to the regime that was set down for me. Or will they know when I go back?
Well, we are, yes, we do have that sixth sense as therapists, as manual therapists. We've got a pretty good idea. And we usually give you sets of exercise routines to facilitate the changes that we've made during your session. And therefore, sometimes if there's a relapse in between your sessions, the reason for that is sometimes because you haven't been following those exercises. So unless we can pinpoint anything else, but it's usually likely that the momentum that we are hoping to create with the exercises that we prescribe, for want of a better word, is to help facilitate that work that we're doing. So the worst thing that you could do, as you mentioned, are we allowed to say this on air, that you haven't been doing those exercises?
I'm asking for a friend.
And that you've got your appointment with your therapist next week. Mm. The worst thing that you could do at this stage is to do a lot of them to make up what you've missed out.
Because really?
Then we find that we just overdo it and you can create some strain and things. So try and get back on schedule as quickly as possible, okay. But don't overdo it. Do as it says on the label. You know, if it says do this exercise 10 times, 3 times a day, then do that. Don't try and get 150 in between now and your next session, because that will actually cause more problems. So be wary of that. So just pick up where you were supposed to leave off and carry on as required.
Okay. This is for an occasionally painful shoulder. When I notice it most when I go to bed and I lie on my side and I get a sort of an ache.
Mm-hmm.
And my therapist said, that's something to do. That's not really just your shoulder, that's your back as well.
Well, we look, as most therapists, most either chiropractors, osteopaths and even physiotherapists would look at the whole body. Mm. So we look at how well you balance. Bear in mind that your pelvis is the sort of foundations for your spine to stand on. And all the muscles that go up the torso and even articulate into the shoulders and upper back and neck area all originate from the lower back. So if you've got an imbalance in your pelvis and lower back, then you can have a compensatory effect up around the neck and shoulder regions, and even, you know, vice versa, right down into the feet. You can have, we have patients who have knee problems, and again their problem can be coming from the hips, and then people who have feet problems with their feet, that can cause headaches. So it's all about rebalancing, and a good therapist will look at you as a whole and check that you are corrected from top to toe. And often when patients come to our clinic, we will adjust from the feet all the way up to the base of the skull, and obviously into the neck and in the jaw, and and we do a little bit of cranial work as well. So it's all about balancing the system and making sure that you're not getting compensation and reciprocation within the body.
It's almost like all these bones are connected together, you know, like the knee bone connected to the thigh bone.
Yeah, well, the old stuff always comes round and is the best and is usually correct, isn't it? These old songs. Yeah.
Wow, okay. So there's my little bit of therapy done. What about other things to look at? Other things on backs. I mean, this is the biggest problem. Earlier on, by the way, I was talking to listeners about their therapies for aching joints, because, you know, Andy Murray's had his hip
done.
Resurfaced.
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's a strange phrase, isn't it? Resurfaced. Yes. Until you see what they've done, and they have literally resurfaced
It's a really good, if you can catch it early enough and the joint isn't destroyed with the osteoarthritis too much, then we have quite a few patients that we say, well, get in there early, get the opinion of the surgeon so that you don't have to go through the full hip replacement, because obviously the recovery is much, much quicker, and the operation is less severe.
Yeah, so he's gone through that. He's hoping he'll be able to play tennis again to a high competitive level now. He's dealt with the pain in his hip that's been holding him back. But it led me to ask what other people do to deal with pain. Quite a few people with stories of quite complicated surgery, one way and another. Generally successful, but it's a lot to go through, including being awake while they do the hip surgery, somebody was telling me.
Yes, it's they like to sort of do the epidural type of injections, the nerve blocks. Now, instead of putting you under a full general anaesthetic, again, it's all about less stress on the body and improving the recovery time. So, not something I would like to witness, I don't think.
Nor this, I would imagine. Somebody's texted in to say, I still laugh about my pals back in the 70s. Someone told him to see an old guy up a back street. He laid him on a table, put some gadget on him and hit it with a mallet. The man nearly shot through the window, but he's never had back pain since. It's not what you do, is it?
Not quite, no. We're a little bit more finely tuned and we have a little bit more finesse and art to our technique there. But yes, it's not quite so scary.
Neil says he's had over 60 operations getting his ankle sorted after an accident 27 years ago. As for pain, I know I've had it, says Neil. One of the other stories came from a listener about an ankle injury which led to massive amounts of problems sort of all the way up in years gone by because the ankle was never set properly in the first place.
Yes, and then obviously the way that you walk changes the dynamics of everything. And as we said earlier, everything's connected. So if you're starting to limp about, that's going to throw your pelvis out. And then that pelvis is the foundations for your spine. So that's going to have a knock-on effect throughout and can even lead to jaw problems and headaches and all sorts of things. So pretty miserable. That's pretty unlucky for someone to have to go through all of that.
One thing that is always recommended, I know, and if you can get into the habit of doing this earlier in life, then it's easier later in life. It's just walking, but proper good walking. We'll talk about what that actually means in a couple of minutes here on BBC Radio. And I'm Alex Newton with me. Alan Clifford at BBC Radio Nottingham, thinking about getting yourself as fit as possible and mobile. And while that record was playing, I thought I'd impress Alex and show her on my smartphone just how much walking I do each day. It's over 3.5 miles a day. Not enough steps, though.
No, only 7,500, was it? Yes, we want you to be doing at least, 10,000 a day should be your minimum.
Right.
That's
going to get on for about 4 miles a day.
That's good. You're a dog walker. We've just established that. Yeah, and, going that extra block rather than turning left at the first left opportunity, then go the extra block or change your route slightly. As we were saying, that walking or any exercise should be a forward moving entity, excuse the pun, but every 6 weeks your body will get used to the type of endurance that you're doing and it will feel that it's not actually doing anything after 6 weeks. So what you need to do is change your parameters, just one of them, every 6 weeks. So you either walk a little bit further or a little bit faster or increase the endurance, maybe do a little bit more uphill walking, a little bit more resistance there. So it doesn't matter which parameter you change as long as you change something so the body doesn't get stuck in a rut, because after 6 weeks it really is not registering what you're doing. You're not building more muscle, you're not building good cardiovascular, respiratory heart work, heart health. So it's good to increase that parameter. So make a note on your calendar and make sure that every 6 weeks that you just increase something in some direction, as I say, heavier, faster, stronger, longer, whatever, it doesn't matter.
I suppose you could always, if you don't have hills where you walk, you could always put a rucksack or something with some weight in it, some bottles of water,
rucksacks around your ankles, weights around your ankles to increase the resistance.
Right.
But try and walk faster. Set your clock and say, right, it takes me 20 minutes to do this walk. I'm going to see if I can do it in 18 or 17 minutes this time. And try and be out of breath when you're doing it. And the other thing to remember is that things like walking poles and things are quite good because they get your arms and upper body moving. You've got good stability there. But walking properly is really important and how you walk. So make sure you engage that that core, keep your tummy muscles tight, and swing your arms when you're walking so that you've got better momentum. And that can increase your speed. Don't take too long a stride because that can put strain on your ankles and knees. So just watch that. But also, back to the old footwear again, which we've discussed before, is make sure you've got good walking boots. Or good trainers, so that you aren't creating all sorts of horrible things like that wretched rigid plantar fasciitis and knee problems that I know we've discussed before.
We have discussed, but following those discussions, it is not an issue for me. It hasn't been for a while. So no longer do I get that awful pain in the heel, nor do I get knee pain.
Problems.
And that was all down to just getting enough arch support in my shoes.
Yep. And using your little insoles again.
Yeah, or yes, little insoles when necessary. And when buying shoes, just having a feel inside to see if they've got any support built in. It's quite an amazing difference that it makes, that something as small and seemingly insignificant as that. And I have come across other people who have talked about, oh, I've got this terrible pain in my heel. And I say, you need this little wedge that goes in your shoe. Oh, no, I think it's more than that. I think it's the pain I've got is, oh, it's more than just a little wedge in my shoe that I need. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people actually imagine that they're going to go and have to have surgery and all sorts.
It's understanding the dynamics of what's happening there. Because the people that have, I always find that my patients find that the ones that have the higher arch, a lot of people with very flat feet don't actually tend to have too many problems with their feet. But the ones with very high arch, as we get older, those ligaments, which are like elastic bands that actually form that high arch, they start to lose that elasticity and the arch starts to drop. And the further that arch drops, the more stretch you get on those tendons on the sole of your feet. And it's those tendons pulling on the heel as they insert into the base of the heel there that gives you that terrible foot pain. So you've got to rebuild that arch somehow. We've got some little exercises that we do to build the little tiny intrinsic muscles, they're tiny little muscles and between the bones of the feet to try and rebuild the arch a little bit. But obviously the quick fix is to make sure that arch is supported. And when you think you're doing 10,000 steps a day, that's all that you're recording, 5,000 on each foot, that 5,000 times doing the same thing, you can imagine that's going to take some stress through the foot if it's not functioning properly.
What was the scrunching of the toes thing you told me about doing?
Yeah, that's part of the intrinsic
that
muscle
works
thing.
As well. That's all become a habit now.
Excellent.
I find myself doing it without thinking.
And that's the thing about going back to the exercises, is that we try and incorporate those exercises into people's daily routine. So you don't have to set aside time during the day to actually do loads and loads of exercises. If we can get it into your daily routine, do this before you get up out of bed in the morning, do this before you go to bed at night, do this exercise while you're cleaning your teeth, do this exercise while you're boiling the kettle, you've got more chance of incorporating that onto a daily routine and not forgetting, as you said. You forget. If you do them every day for about, I think it's 4 weeks, you'll remember to do them every day for the rest of your life. So it's getting into that good habit. And we need little notes and aid memoirs because we're so busy with lots of other things during the day that sometimes I say, put a note on the toilet door, put a note on the kettle, and that will remind you to do those shoulder exercises, just for 5 minutes while the kettle's boiling.
Yes, I'm sitting here making out I'm some sort of paragon of virtue when it comes to exercise. Anyone who was listening 15 minutes ago will know I've failed dismally and I will be found out significantly next week. And who's the fool in all of this? Only me. As we get older, it sometimes feels a bit more difficult to get into exercise at keeping things going as you move on through the years. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
On BBC One. We've been moved.
That's how you do it.
We've been wowed.
That was mind-blowing.
That was amazing.
But now anything can happen.
As we go live.
Yes!
Who are you?
The moves, the facial expressions.
At one point I thought I was going to lose me, mate.
The dance captain's chosen acts go hit to hit and you choose who makes it to the final.
The Greatest Dancer. Next Saturday night at 7:30 on BBC One.
Sadly, I don't think I'll ever be on that. But Alex Newton is here and Beeston chiropractor Alex giving you some thoughts on staying mobile, staying pain-free as much as possible. People do always say that, I can't start exercise now, or I'm going to walk a bit, do a bit less as I'm getting older. What is the view on ageing and exercise from your world?
Should be completely the opposite, really, there, as we get older. There's lots of physiological changes and metabolic changes within our bodies, which means we've got to really work a lot harder at keeping fit. It takes a lot more effort to maintain muscle strength. Your bones are changing all the time, with changes in your hormone levels, so it's important to try and keep those bones nice and strong. So I think something like 3 million people have osteoporosis in the UK. To prevent that and reduce the risk of that, not only is all the nutritional benefits that we should be looking at, but keeping active, because keeping your bones strong and keeping doing those 10,000 steps a day is going to help reduce that. Things like swimming and that is not great for thinning of the bones and things, because you're not weight bearing, but it obviously is a good exercise for muscle tone and things. But really just getting out there, trying to break up your day, get away from the desk at lunchtime, we've got some beautiful places around Nottingham to walk, try and get out at the weekends as well, and really start pounding the pavements and building that muscle tone up there. As well as reducing the thinning of the bones with osteoporosis. That's really important.
So never too late to start. If you're already doing it, step it up a bit, and you will hopefully avoid the worst ravages of age. You'd only have to look at Alex to see. Not 83, what would you be, 79, and you don't look a day over. I mean, no, you're looking very good on it all. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll see you again in mid-March.
That's lovely.
More thoughts on staying mobile, keeping yourself supple, keeping yourself pain-free.